Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The following is a presentation of the Eastern Michigan Sports Network.
Smith by the feet. He's to the 10, the 5. Touchdown. What a tackle!
Evans up the middle to the 5, into the end zone, touchdown, Eastern Michigan!
Straight from the 734, it's the Blue Cross Blue Shield Eastern Insider Podcast, presented by The Foaling Warehouse, your weekly chance to get in on the action. Now, let's send it to the guys on the inside of it all, Greg Steiner and Tom Helmer.
Tom, they say today is National Take a Nap Day. Why, ooh, you ask? Because daylight savings time just screws everything up, right?
It does. You feel differently. I enjoy all the daylight.
It's great to have daylight, but you're just...
I'm pro-daylight.
Yesterday and today, it's just like, oh, I feel off.
Yeah, I do. You know, and I think there's actually some statistical information about possibly like increase in heart attacks and stuff. The time change. I have no factual information at my fingertips to back this up, but the time change does... It does screw with you in some way. So there is a little bit of adjustment there. But at least it's sunny. The weather's nice. That makes a difference.
Makes a huge difference. We put a capper on basketball season last week, and you couldn't have asked for a better way for EMU men's and women's basketball to go out. They went out kicking, fighting, and screaming for this season to continue.
There are pictures floating around of you and I after the Akron game where it looks like we just won the lottery. And it's when Stan Heath was coming up to do the post-game interviews. I didn't think you and I were grinning like a couple of big idiots, but there we were like, we're just so happy to win on the road at Akron against what was the number one team in the conference. They followed that up with a loss to Western. So they ended up as the number two seed for the tournament. And then the women knock off Bowling Green in the season finale at home on senior day and did it in grand fashion, leading wire to wire. So it was a totally different feel down the stretch than it was for most of the season.
You couldn't have wiped the smile off Stan Heath's face to do it, given the fact that no Tyson Acuff, none of this. The world gave you a 21.5-point dog, and you find a way to win against a team that has every reason to have won the MAC title.
Yeah.
All they had to do was win that game, and they're the one seed. They're hanging banners. Instead, everybody's questioning, like, does Akron even belong in the postseason?
Well, and that's a fair question because they just did not play well down the stretch. They had not shot well over a long stretch towards the end of the season, too. And Eastern Michigan was able to take advantage of that. But as you said, you win without one of the top scorers in the nation in Tyson Acuff. Then you backed it up really with a performance at Central Michigan. No Acuff, no Jeter, and you still took that game to overtime and almost pulled it out. So at the end, the wheels were falling off the bike. They still held it together and played some great basketball down the stretch. So I think it's just a good sign. And I had some conversations with Stan Heath, too, just trying to gauge his level of determination and excitement for next season. And he seems dialed in. So that's a good sign, too. So I think he's happy with the way the team finished. And I think if somehow there could be some carryover with the core to next season, they're a little more adapted at knowing how to win and can move that forward.
Yeah, and then on the women's side, you had Keisha Blanton, who got extremely emotional after the game, knowing that, who knows, that could be your final game.
Right.
Could be the last game that she just doesn't have the interim tag, or who knows, and we won't know for a little bit yet either. But you look at it, that team played hard. And all her message was have fun. And that they did.
They went out and they played loose. And that's one of the things when you know you're out of the MAC tournament, you're not going, all you can do is spoil other people's seasons. And then to go out and play that strong, they scored 26 points in the first quarter. They're up 26-9. Now they got outscored every quarter the rest of the way and still won the basketball game. That's how dominant the start was. You had eight players and they weren't even healthy. Then you lost LaShelle Austin. She went down with an injury. You lost Tyra Eke, your big player inside. You start looking down the bench. There's nobody left there. You got walk-ons put in there, and you still got the victory against Bowling Green. So I thought it was fantastic.
It was great. Now it's on to the MAC tournament. Eastern, of course, not one of the top eight in either one of the sides. Toledo, the number one on both the men's and women's side. If you're hauling out your crystal ball, who's cutting the nets down come Saturday?
Well, I think it'll be Toledo on the men. I think it'll be Toledo on both sides, to be honest with you. I think Toledo played a little stronger down the stretch. I think Akron's got some things to try and figure out. And on the women's side, earlier in the season, I would have told you Ball State, but they are, the way we saw Toledo play against Eastern Michigan, and I realize Eastern Michigan had about seven healthy players in that game, but Toledo is loaded. They're fantastic this year. They're going to lose a lot of players. It's going to be a completely different Rockets team next year, but they just seem like loaded for bear. And we walked in with one of the players, and I said, NCAA? She goes, it's been the goal all along. We want to go to the NCAA tournament. So.
Yeah, I agree with you on the women's side. I think it will be a Toledo-Ball State final. I think they both end up getting invites to the NCAA. On the men's side, I'm going to differ with you.
Go ahead.
I think it's the Ohio Bobcats that are going to be the ones that hoist the trophy.
Yeah, that's a good team too.
I mean, Jeff Bowles and company have it going on. Again, we talked about Akron. I don't think they're going to get it righted that quick. I think Ohio is going to take them out on that side of the bracket. I think Toledo will make the finals, but I think it's going to be Ohio that cuts down the nets.
Which is fair enough. We've seen some great basketball out of Ohio this season. I just remember the game down there against Eastern where they just went roughshod over the whole group, and it seems like everybody could score. They played good defensively. That's a team that when they're dialed in, they're tough to beat. So
I asked Justin Rose this on our final ESPN broadcast, but out of your determination, who's the MAC player of the year on the men's side?
And Enrique Freeman. Enrique Freeman is the best player in the MAC, I think, hands down.
And on the women's side?
That's a good question. Boy, who's the best player on the women? I don't know. Do you have one?
I think Kenesha Lockett's pretty darn good.
Yeah, she was very good.
She's very good.
I don't think it's as runaway as the men's side.
No, there's not going to be a unanimous selection like that. But, okay, and then my other question I posed to him was, what was your most memorable moment from the season? Can it be either men's or women's?
Well, I mean, Akron was pretty memorable. Probably the Akron game when I see Billingsley go up and come just... It was almost like a Harry Potter movie. He just formed out of the floor, just went sky high, and you could feel that dunk, and then the place went silent. You just saw the blood drain out of people's faces. That was a great moment. Yeah. I'm trying to think, you know, you go where we called like 45 basketball games, so I'm quickly going through my Rolodex of games.
The Kent State win was pretty memorable.
The Kent State one in overtime was a memorable one. Yeah, it's probably the Akron game.
So okay,
it happened late. They saved it for dessert.
So now we put the basketball shoes away for a little while, and we shift outdoors in a lot of capacities. EMU baseball takes 2 of 3 from the defending MAC tournament champions Ball State, 10-9 and 6-2 winners. They fell 11-8 in the finale. They'll be back on the road this weekend at Morehead State for 4 games. And then finally, they open their home schedule beginning the 19th against Michigan at Oestreich Stadium. You look at...
First of all, where is Morehead State?
I don't even know where they're at. Morehead State's in Morehead, Kentucky.
I didn't know that. There's also a Morehead, Kentucky. I didn't know that. They're what?
The Eagles as well.
Oh, bird fight.
Yep, so you can check that game out on ESPN+, and then we'll open up our broadcast slate next Tuesday with the Wolverines. Today's conversation is all about volleyball, as they will get ready to open their spring campaign. March 29th, they'll play at Michigan State before April 6th, Wright State, Central Michigan on April 13th and April 17th against Michigan. We get a chance to catch up with both Remy Foman, who is the director of operations and wife of Kevin Foman, the head coach. And then you get the chance to talk with Kendall Bonney for an intriguing story because she's got a lot of things that go on, not only on the volleyball court, but off.
Yeah, she's somebody who actually started her college career elsewhere, Ashland, transferred to Eastern Michigan, and then also from a very young age has been battling type 1 diabetes. I don't know if you're battling it. You're living with type 1 diabetes. And she talks about how that affects her athletic career and things she does to try and stay with her blood sugar in the right spot when she's playing in volleyball games and those type of things. She's a fascinating person to talk to and one that's just absolutely thrilled to be at Eastern Michigan.
And then Remy, in my conversation, revolves around a lot of building a program. Of course, she's a former standout at Maryland. How it translates to going from being a star to having to teach kids how, because that's a unique dynamic, because a lot of times people fail in that aspect because when you're a gifted athlete, sometimes you're like, come on, you should be able to do this too.
That's exactly the point. I think it's really hard, and you're a big baseball fan. Great players don't necessarily make great managers or coaches because it was easier for them. They had so much athletic ability, and sometimes it's hard for them to translate that to someone that's not as great as they were. Like, they don't always understand, but I think it's a good relationship here. And your husband's the coach, and you were probably the best volleyball player in the family, right?
Right.
Yeah. She's phenomenal.
Yeah, so they will get their chance. We also have home lacrosse this week, Tom, as they finally, after their long road battle, will get a chance to host Butler this week at Cicluna Field. Must be nice to finally be off the road. Baseball, lacrosse, they've all taken these endless road trips.
Yeah, you feel like you're never around. I've watched a lot of lacrosse. So I like the game. I don't know how much lacrosse you've watched, but I became a lacrosse fan when my daughter started playing. She played travel like in the Denver area and all the way through high school. But it was funny, if you didn't grow up with it, sometimes you're like, I don't know what's going on here. My daughter got called for a penalty in a game once, and after the game I went up to the official. And I said to the official, I don't know the call you made on my daughter. And I explained the play. And I think at first the official thought, are you challenging the call? I'm like, I'm not challenging. I literally have no idea what you called on her. And the ref goes, dangerous propelling. And I said, I don't know what that is. They go, your daughter took a shot, but there was a defender between her and the net. And I go, seems like that's where the defender should be.
Yeah.
But, you know, with the no equipment, the no helmet, they go, well, the defender was put in a dangerous position. So what your daughter needs to do is show intent to shoot, and then we penalize the defenseman, and then she gets the free shot. And I'm like, okay, now I know. So it's just that learning process as you go along.
Or we find helmets and some protective gear. That seems like the easier answer.
Well,
right?
Really, I don't know if there's a sport that has as two different types of games as the men's and women in lacrosse. Just the men's. I practiced once with the University of Denver team in net. I wanted to see what it was like to be a goalie in men's lacrosse, and it's horrifying. That ball comes in. Listen, they were standing way out there too, but when they cradle the ball and fired it, one guy fired one. It went off my kneecap and off into the stands, and I just had bruises everywhere, and they don't wear hardly any padding.
Right.
Now, at that time, the University of Denver had two great goalies competing for a national title, so I said to the coach, which one do you start? And he goes, whichever one doesn't get hurt in warmups. Inevitably, one would take one maybe to the bathing suit area or something, and he would need that first half. So the one that didn't get beat up enough, I go, I don't know how you do this job. I could never be a lacrosse goalie, but it's a fun sport, but it gets violent out there.
Say, I'm not taking in as much lacrosse as I should. So
you should step in a net with the ladies out there.
Yeah, I know that was one of your plans. Is this summer we start taking shots with different teams.
Well, yeah.
Tom's day at work. What can we find for him to do that day?
I used to do a segment on TV news called Tom on the Town, and it would just be, I'd go out and try different things, and so that's where I would end up like.
Here we go, 2024-25, Tom on the Town can return.
Tom about campus, here I go.
Exactly. All right, we need to get going. We've got some interviews in store for you. And then next week...
And quickly, spring football starts. Yeah, Let's not forget it.
Next week, we'll do a big preview on spring football, because let's start thinking about these position battles and who's going to lead, who's gone, all those things that have changed so much.
We can't fit that in one show, I don't think. No, but we'll try.
That'll be the remainder. Plus, we've got some new coaches to talk about.
Yeah.
So, spring football preview. Coming up next week on the Eastern Insider, presented by Blue Cross Blue Shield and the Folding Warehouse.
Are you ready? Ready to find the right care that works for you? Care that connects you to what you need anytime, anywhere, and fits best with your lifestyle? Whether it's in person or in your pajamas, online or over the phone, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan connects you to the care you need when you need it most. With the largest network of doctors and hospitals, an easy-to-use mobile app, and a 24-hour nurse line. Because we're always ready to help. Learn more about Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan at bcbsm.com.
It's here.
Folding Warehouse.
And sports will never be the same. Folding combines the best of bowling and football. But you don't have to be good at either to have a great time at the Folding Warehouse. Ipsy Ann Arbor's newest place to play is now open. 20 lanes, 2 bars, over 100 beers. The Folding Warehouse at the corner of Washtenaw and Golfside in Ypsilanti, where everyone comes to play.
There's only one place in the state of Michigan that takes you straight inside the locker room, and that's the Eastern Insider Podcast, your chance to get in on the action, bringing you more coverage than any other program in the mitten.
All right, joining me now is Kendall Bonnie, sophomore, outside hitter.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a big difference between inside and outside?
No, I mean, I'm outside and right side, but I mostly do right side. I stay on the...
Are you right-handed?
Yes, I am. And most time lefties are on the right side, but I'm an exception.
There we go. We're talking volleyball. You stand 6 feet tall. Are you really 6 feet, or they measure you in
really
your shoes?
6 feet. I swear.
Were you always tall? Is your family tall, like your parents?
My mom is. My dad is kind of tall.
What's tall for mom?
She's like 5'10".
That's
my dad's
tall.
Like 5'9".
Okay.
So they're both, I don't know, my genes. My grandpa's like 6'3". So I got my grandpa's tallness gene.
Were your parents athletic at all?
My mom was a softball player and she loved it, played in college. My dad went to the Army.
Okay.
And he was in the Army for a while. And then I was born, sister was born. And then my mom's a teacher now, but she loved sports. She like grew up and I grew up around sports and like lifting and stuff like that.
So where'd she play in college?
She was at Heidelberg in Tiffin.
Okay.
She played for 2 years and then she ended up dropping out. But she was still a student at Heidelberg. She wanted to focus on her studies and not so much sports.
You and I were talking, you're from a small town. Is it a small town?
Yes.
In Northwest Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, I know what Michigan winters are all about. Because as you left high school, you first started at Ashland.
Yes, I did.
And then you followed Coach Kevin Foman here.
Yes.
Now, Ashland, you guys had a great season your freshman year.
It was very good, yes.
23-9.
Yes. Oh, wow. I didn't remember. I forgot what the record was. But that was really, it was a really good season. Really fun season, too.
Season here, not as good. That's you guys okay. struggled a little bit. But
we're
it's all
learning.
About turning stuff
yeah,
around.
Yeah, we're turning it around. It's getting better. So there's a lot of improvement in the gym, especially in the spring is like when you want to focus on like getting better in like every individual point. Like you want to work hard as hard as you can because it'll pay off in the fall. So we're working on that right now in the spring.
It takes a lot to turn a program around,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
But do you feel good about the direction that volleyball is going here at Eastern Michigan?
I do. I feel like we're going in a good direction, especially with Coach Foman and Remy helping out too. And then like all my teammates are like, we're bought into the program. So he wants us to be bought in. We're all bought in. I mean, we're ready to work.
When did you know volleyball was your sport?
I would say seventh grade because I really didn't like volleyball at all until like I was a seventh grader because I wanted to run cross country actually when I was in seventh grade. My mom's like, no, try it out. And I tried it out. I loved it. I was like, I want to play this for the rest of my life. And then I played club and I was like, I want to play in college. And then I worked hard all my high school and club career and then played in college, which was a great achievement for me.
Here's the thing about volleyball I find tough. One, do your forearms ever get used to the ball?
Yeah, it takes a while. Once you, like when you stop playing for a little bit, like over the summer or something like that, like your arms are like beet red.
Yeah.
It does hurt. And people hit hard, especially on our team. People have hard hitters. It's scary to defend sometimes.
Have you ever clocked one of your spikes? Do you know how hard you hit the ball?
Today we were doing throwing with like little balls and like weighted balls, and I think I had 43.
Wow.
That wasn't a ball though. I've never measured. We measured serving, which is right. Like a serving's like 40 miles per hour. We have to get 40 miles per hour or like 38. And I got 40 today, which isn't like crazy, but I want to get more. I want to hit as hard as I can, but.
Were you the one on your high school team that's like, I'll just handle everything here? Were you the standout on your high school team?
Kind of like a small school, and I was like the setter, DS hitter, middle hitter. I was whatever my coach needed me to be. So I was always there to like fill in for setting, and obviously I'm not a setter here, and I don't plan on being a setter here because my hands are not great, but I filled in for whatever I could be and helped the team win.
So. And then how did Coach Foeman find you at Ashland?
I emailed him, I think, my senior year. No, my junior summer. Summer between my junior and senior year. And I messaged him. We talked back and forth. I went to his Ashland camp and we talked more. And then I went to an open gym with just the players, no coaches. So they could get a feel of how I am in the court and like how I am as a person. And then after that, I think it was like August 3rd or 4th. Like, I remember it was like 2021. He messaged me and was like, I want to offer you to come play here at Ashland. And I was like, so stoked. I was like, no way. I'm actually getting like a college like recruitment right now. I was like on cloud nine for like seven, like the whole month, I think. It was so exciting.
And then how excited were you when he goes, oh, I'm leaving?
I was very sad. I called my mom right after and I was like bawling. I was like, oh my gosh, like Coach Foam is leaving. Like, what am I going to do? And then he talked to me. He recruited the middle and setter from Ashland too. They both came with him as well. And he recruited like them. And then he was like, hey, like, do you want to talk? And I was like, yeah, like, let's talk. And he recruited me again. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'm coming with you. Of course, I want to come to see what you can do for this program and like switch it up. And Division I is crazy. Like, I've dreamed playing Division I my whole entire life. And now I'm doing it, which is even better than what I expected.
Which is fantastic. Yes. We're so happy to have you here in Ypsilanti.
Yes.
One of the things I heard about you, and I find fascinating because my oldest son has the same thing, diabetes.
Yes, I am type 1 diabetic.
As is he.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is interesting because he is in shape and he was mm-hmm. in college and all of a sudden he's just like, I keep drinking water. I'm going to the bathroom all the time. Something's wrong. He was in college when he figured it out. Now, it's not to say maybe he had it a little early, but when did you find out that you had type 1 diabetes?
I was 3 years old when I
really?
Found out. Yeah, my mom and dad really found out, but I don't remember most of my younger years. But I think I had a infection when I was younger and it like kind of like triggered it.
Okay.
And then I drank so much water. I was going to the bathroom all the time. And like, my mom was like, something's wrong with this kid. Like, she has something wrong. And they took me to the hospital and I'm like, yeah, you're type 1 diabetic, surprise. And I was like freaking out. But now I learn how to handle it. It's a lot easier doing it now than it was like, obviously when I was like junior high, high school. But yeah.
Well, junior high, high school too. And the technology's come a long way. Because I know he had the pump with the cord and the thing. And now they basically you can wear something on your arm mm-hmm. You wouldn't know unless you told somebody.
Yeah.
But, you know, before it was pricking your finger all the time.
Like taking shots.
Testing multiple times a day.
Yeah, I hated doing that. I'm on the Dexcom and the Omnipod now, and they, like, talk to each other. But that's really nice. But I used to be on, like, I think it was finger pokes and injections, like just straight syringe needle. And then I did the wires. And I hated it. I don't know. I just did not like it. It always, like, got caught on stuff. And then I did the Omnipod, and then I got the Dexcom, and I actually hated the Dexcom for a long time. It's like the sensor where it's like continuous, always sensing my blood sugar.
Right.
So no more finger pokes for me, thank goodness. And then I hated the Dexcom. I got to college, and I was like, I should do the Dexcom again, give it a chance, because I won't be home. My mom will help me as much as she did in high school. I'll be all by myself. And I was like, I love the Dexcom now. Like, I'm obsessed. I love it so much.
So for people that are like, what is the Dexcom? How does it work?
Basically, like, you check your sugar and like you poke your finger. It's basically the same thing as that.
So you're back to finger poking.
No. It's the same thing as a Dexcom.
Oh, I got you.
You don't have to finger poke anymore. It just like senses your blood sugar like 24/7. And I have like a meter that's in my bag. It's like, it connects to my insulin pump and like the sensor. So I can like, don't even need to really do much when I'm like eating something. It'll just like automatically give me correction for it.
Or,
like,
which is fantastic.
Which is like so crazy.
So athletically, no impact for you during practices and games so much or a little bit?
It's a little. I go low. I go like below like 50 And it hasn't happened a lot this spring, but it happened a lot in the fall and like last year before that. It just, when I start sweating a lot and working out and like pushing myself, like I'll go low.
Your blood sugar
gets
very low.
My blood sugar will go low, yes.
They keep like...
Oh, I have Gatorade and fruit snacks. Like my fruit snacks are my thing. So everyone knows I have a box of fruit snacks with me at practice. And like no one knows, everyone knows like not to touch it because like it's mine.
Right.
They'll get
yeah,
in trouble
like
for
this
it.
Is not just I'm hungry.
Yeah, like
it's kind of a life or death thing.
This is my thing. Yeah.
Well, it's been it's been fantastic talking to you, Kendall Bonnie, helping to turn the program around. 34 kills. I was looking at your stats too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What do you mean? Oh, really? You didn't know you had 34 kills?
No, I did not check. I did not check recently. I haven't been checking that much.
Well, we look forward to next season, and we'll talk to you again. I want to check in with you again, and as this program gets turned around, but. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me here.
This episode of the Eastern Insider Podcast is brought to you by National Trails Bus. Safety, comfort, reliability. Come ride with us. As well as Trinity Health. Trinity Health is the preferred healthcare provider of EMU Athletics. Get top-tiered orthopedic and spine care to get you back in the game. As well as Standard Printing and Design, the standard of excellence in design and print for small business.
You're listening to the Blue Cross Blue Shield Eastern Insider Podcast, presented by the Foaling Warehouse, the only show that brings you all things Eastern all the time. Now let's get back to the action with Greg Steiner and Tom Helmer.
We know the fall's still a little ways away, but not too soon to start thinking about EMU volleyball and the upcoming spring campaign, joined by Director of Volleyball Operations, Remy Fulman. I know it's Director of Volleyball Operations, but you're an integral part of coaching and everything else now, thanks to the NCAA's change that's really allowed this whole extra coaching in bodies, right?
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm really thankful that we've been able to do this. I obviously love coaching with my husband, but to be able to do this at this stage is really awesome. So we're excited.
Let's start at the beginning. Coaching with your husband. You've been with him a few different stops along the way. It's a passion. It's something that you guys are fully invested in. First off, how did you and Kevin meet?
Coaching volleyball. Shocker, I know. We were coaching a club, separate clubs in the DC, Maryland, Virginia area, and we were coaching against each other, and yeah, that way.
You were quite the standout volleyball player yourself. What was it about the sport that attracted you to the game of volleyball?
My sister, my older sister played. She's 10 years older than me. So she was in high school and I was just in the gym watching her play and knew that I loved being around it. I started playing club when I was 7, which was pretty young for that time in that area of New Jersey. But yeah, I loved it. I wanted nothing more than just to just play it all the time. Just was attracted to the game immediately and only played that in high school. A lot of, you know, great athletes play a lot of different sports. I was not one that did that. I just wanted to focus on volleyball all year round. So I was just obsessed with it.
A lot of people say that you shouldn't specialize in something early on. You kind of followed that philosophy of, oh, if you're going to specialize and not play other sports. As a coach now, what do you prefer? Would you rather somebody be well-versed in a bunch of things or focus early on?
I love players that play all different types of sports. I think just the training aspect is totally different, whether it's basketball, track, softball. I think there's so many different things that can be a positive for bringing those sports into it. So yeah, we love tri-sport, the three-sport athletes, and getting those athletes in our gym is just, it's great. We love it.
Did you know right away in college that you wanted to be a coach, or was there a trajectory of, I was going to go this way, and then it pivoted?
I knew I wanted to play pro. That was like my main goal, was to play professionally. I went into college wanting to be a math teacher, quickly changed that after like one class. But I knew that I wanted to be around the sport. Coaching was definitely always a thought. My setting coach in college was a huge mentor for me. She's still one of my best friends. And I think that having her be that role model for me really showed me that you can be a volleyball coach, a mom, a friend, and a great mentor to athletes. So that was something that I really, that really inspired me to do it.
How has the game changed since you started playing it?
X's and O's are going to be a little different. You know, old school, you'll say like, you know, not missing serves or something like that, but now serving aggressively is such a big part of the game. I think, you know, a lot of better athletes are playing the game, where, you know, before I feel like it was a lot just women played basketball,
right?
Where volleyball is becoming one of the most popular sports in high school. So getting all those athletes to play the sport of volleyball has made the game a little bit more athletic, I would say. But I know when I started playing, it was, you know, I think relatively the same.
Right. It was kind of the sport where, okay, if you were tall, you played, or if you wanted quickness, or if it just kind of worked out fall, winter, that progression. Mm-hmm. But now it seems that –
volleyball on a national stage, people recognize its importance and just what it's become. You've even on the NCAA level seen the separation of having a regular volleyball season, but now the addition of sand and beach volleyball as well as part of the NCAA offerings.
Yeah, and having the professional league starting here. We have two leagues now in the States, which is something that I wish we had 10 years ago. And a lot of my teammates that I played with in Puerto Rico are actually currently in the league here, which is really awesome to see that you're able to still play at that level. I think it's just really cool that we have both professional leagues going on, and I think it's great for our sport.
All right, let's loop it back a little closer to Eastern now. We've done the sport of volleyball, how you got involved, but let's talk the decision a little over a year ago that you and Kevin had to make of leaving Ashland, a program that you had set up for success. We're competing for national championships now, and said, I want to make the Division I jump. How is it as a family you guys make that decision, or is it kind of Kevin asking for the blessing to do that?
I think he would tell you this too. I pushed him to do it. He was very comfortable. We were both very comfortable where we were at. I think 39 weeks pregnant with our third kid when he was doing the interview process. Our third kid is about to be one on Valentine's Day. So it was a little bit of a stressful
right.
time. But I always thought that we belonged at the Division I level. Kevin obviously played Division III baseball. We coached at Division II. But I thought we were able to be successful at this level. And I think that I pushed him. He listened, which is really nice. But yeah, it was a stressful time
trying
to figure out. We were kind of torn a lot of different ways. And I think that it all just made sense. We love the area. We love the school. The support that you have from so many different areas in this school is just incredible. So we were really excited when the opportunity came.
One of the things that people, when they make a decision, they focus on what you have as a X's and O's possibility, but they don't often think about the culture. How does a person coming in establishing and changing a culture as part of a changing a landscape of a team?
Now, it's a great question. I think that in general, we've tried to stick to who we are. And we're pretty, we like what we like. We were very
sure.
specific about the way we like things done, our defensive posture, the way that we go about ourselves on the court, I think is just really specific. So trying to implement that slowly, I think was our tactic. And it's something that we've continued to try to bring. Now it's hard because we didn't have a great full season in the spring. We got here after that spring break time. So it was just kind of hit the ground and trying to get us better at volleyball. Trying to bring that culture in is something that was, you know, we had Callie Minshew who bought in the second we got here, and you could see the success that she had this past
right.
year for us. She bought in, she listened to everything we said. She had a phenomenal senior year, fifth year for her, and we were really thankful for that. And so just getting kids to buy into what we were saying. And we are strict in ways, and that's something that, you know, some people may think us is crazy, but that's just kind of how we run our program. And that's just something that we're trying to implement slowly. This spring has been a little bit of a ramp up since the fall and spring
yep.
last year. And the people that are here are doing it. They're buying into the things that we're asking them to do. They're making those changes in the gym, and that's something that all you can ask for is just trying to make those changes.
Here with EMU Volleyball's Remy Foleman, you look at the success that the kids were able to see and tangibly look at down the stretch. Do you think some of those light bulb moments started to happen that realize, hey, we can really do this with some of the kids?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think that we were able to compete with some of the really great teams in our conference. And seeing those little blips of greatness is something that we try to hope and hone in on and hope that they see those things. So yeah, I do think that they saw that.
One of the big things that I know is what every program has to do now is go and hit the transfer portal. And you guys were certainly able to do that this off season. What are some pieces that people really should be looking for coming up to this upcoming fall?
Yeah, so we've got two that were able to come this spring, which I think is huge. Kylie and Ella, they were able to come in this spring and train with us. Kylie was a freshman of the year in her conference, so obviously a great player. She's an outside that's going to really, I think, really do well for us. Ella is a setter DS that is just, she's got a grit to her that we really enjoy. She goes for balls. She's hitting the floor whenever and whenever we ask her to. And so two great pieces that have, it's really important to get that spring in, and we're really happy that that they're here now. We have two more coming in the fall, and possibly more coming in after that, two signed. But right. We're excited about those two as well. One's a center right side, and then another one is an outside as well.
When we talk culture, some of it is bringing pieces that were at Ashland up here. We saw that last year. How have they helped implement too? Because a lot of it's giving students the ability to implement some of their own changes.
Yeah, I think that it's good to have them here to kind of understand, have the other teammates understand who we are as people. Like I said, we're a strict coaching staff. We are harping on the little things. And to have them understand, yeah, we're also people too. We're not just scary coaches. I think that helps them understand us a little bit more. And that's something that the relationship building piece is just really big for us as coaches. And having them here and bring that that personal touch is just really helpful.
Playing in the shadows of the Big Ten, the MAC is kind of a similar conference. You sit in the same footprint. How do you think the MAC translates volleyball-wise on a national perspective?
I think we're just a little bit smaller, right? Like volleyball, the net's the same height, court's the same size. I would say just the athletes are just a little bit bigger, maybe jump a little higher. But I think, you know, we've never had in our coaching career, we're never the biggest program, the biggest team in our conference. Sure. And so being a little undersized is sometimes a good thing. Talk about Callie Minshew again, but like she's an undersized outside that had a phenomenal year in our conference. And regardless of size, like you got the heart, you're gonna be able right. to play well. And I think that Western Michigan did that this year. They were able to take the first win in the NCAA tournament against Auburn, I believe. And yep. just they were able to take a big Power Five school and be able to do that. I think that the MAC definitely has that. You know, you've got that grit that like, yeah, we may be the underdog a little bit, but we can compete. And I love that about this conference. I love that we can have that.
What's the biggest thing that as a coaching staff you think this team needs to improve on this spring?
Probably our defense and ball control. That's something that we've always harped on. That's our identity usually. Being able to keep the ball off the floor. We tend to make teams frustrated when we keep the ball off the floor and they can't put it away. And that's something that we typically try to do. So yeah, those would be my two things.
And then I'll let you tease a little bit. I know Kevin, when we talked to him last year, said he really wants to help change some of the scheduling, knowing that you were gone so much. And that was a big problem why maybe people were tired after a month, because you're just on the road. Do we anticipate some closer or some home tournaments coming up this fall?
Yeah, we do have a home tournament coming up this fall. We're playing Michigan, which is super close. So yeah, those two tournaments, we're not flying anywhere, which is really nice.
That helps.
Flying is nice in some yeah. ways, but I think as a student athlete experience, just being able to be drivable is just great. So yeah, we will be a little closer to home this time, and I believe some more home games. So
there we go.
Yeah.
We'll get you out of here on this. Volleyball kicks off in this fall, but would you like to see it maybe become more of a, so you see some sports that play both spring and summer. Could you ever see a split season like that?
I would love that. It's really hard. We don't get to work with our athletes in the summer. You get 2 weeks max to get your team ready for competition. And so it's hard. Whether it's splitting up that season or getting a little bit of contact with them in the summer would be really important. I think we're trying to get towards that. I know basketball, football are able yep. to have that. To be able to have that piece would be huge, just to get our athletes ready. We play, I think, 30% of our games in the first 3 weeks.
Right.
It's just a lot of load to ask our athletes to do that, and to get 2 weeks is just not enough time, in my opinion. Would love to have a little bit more touch with them in the summer, and whether it's a couple hours, just something with our freshmen and our transfers getting in the gym and getting into our system would be really helpful.
Appreciate your time. We look forward to seeing you out on the court. When does spring's campaign actually begin?
Oh, gosh. I think it's March 17th or 19th.
Oh, so right around the corner.
Yeah, it's coming up.
Well, appreciate it. We'll be looking forward to it. And as always, we'll have full coverage on ESPN coming up next fall.
Thank you so much.
There's only one podcast in Washtenaw County that takes you inside the athletic department every single week. The Eastern Insider Podcast. Your home for all things Eastern all the time.
This has been another edition of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Eastern Insider Podcast, powered by Learfield. Tune in every Monday for new episodes all year long. And don't forget to visit emueagles.com/podcasts, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, or your home smart device for all of our episodes on demand.